Hello, I'm Pastor Rick, and welcome to our podcast. I hope that the message that you're about to hear will bless and encourage you today.
We're going to go to a message this morning. I'm going a little different direction. We've been in a series on the book of Acts, and we're going to take a pause on that series here for a second. And that's because there was a stirring of the Holy Spirit last Sunday morning during worship. And you say, Pastor, what do you mean a stirring of the Holy Spirit? Nathaniel, in the worship time, we were finishing up a song, God Turned It Around. And Nathaniel said, you know, sometimes the thing that God needs to turn around is our minds. Sometimes I need a shifting in my thought patterns. God, turn it around. That we believe the things you say in your word, and that the things you have done before you, you will do again. And I heard Nathaniel say that and encourage us that sometimes where we need to have a change is in our minds. And I'm thinking, yes, that's exactly right. Because Saturday, during the live prayer time, I was praying about the need for our minds to be changed, for our thinking to be changed. And I was thinking, man, I should go up and I should jump on that. That what Nathaniel said, and encourage the changing of your minds. But I didn't. I felt a little bit of check. Now let's just let the worship go off. And then Sherry comes up to pray, and she shares this watch from last week.
When we were singing that song, Turn It Around, Nathaniel made this statement. He said, what needs to be turned around is the way we think. That's absolutely true. The way we think impacts the way we feel. The way we think impacts our words. It impacts our attitudes. It impacts our actions. And the way we think about God impacts our actions, our words, our attitudes. When I am always aware that God is with me, I will pray differently. When I am aware that I am a child of God, I will pray differently. When I am aware that I am a child of God, a God who loves me and who declares himself to be my Father, I will pray differently. And when I am aware that God is always with me, and declares that I am his child, and he tells me to ask, I will pray differently. Today, as we bring our needs to him, I hope you are aware that God is with you, that God loves you, that God declares that he wants to bless you.
So Nathaniel shares his part. Sherry shares her part. Saturday, I was in prayer with the live prayer time talking about it. At the close of service, I thought, Holy Spirit, I think you want me to talk about our brains, about our minds. And so this morning, I've titled this teaching, Rewire Your Brain, Breaking Our Addiction to Fear, Worry, and Negative Thinking. And I chose the word addiction on purpose. You say, oh, I'm not addicted to fear. I'm not addicted to worry. I'm not addicted to negative thinking. I'm not addicted to being cynical. I'm not addicted to, and you could fill in the blank. And you could say, well, but it's a habit. It's a thought habit. And you keep going back to it, and you try to stop it, and you keep going back to it. I threw the word addiction because I want you to see how serious it is for some of us. We've got to rewire our brains because we are addicted to negative patterns of thinking. And you say, wow, Pastor, that's pretty strong because I've been there. My brain was, because of the rewiring, it's not so much anymore. Before I learned these principles, my brain was cynical, sarcastic, negative, fear-filled, worry-filled. My self-image was so poor that I never felt. My thought patterns was, you can't accomplish that. You can't do that. No one would want you. Who do you think you are? That's someone. And all of this negative thinking was wired into my brain, and it directed and guided my life in a negative path. We're going to talk about that in a minute. That was my brain. But I needed to rewire my brain. I needed to turn it around, as we sang last week. So this morning and next week, we're going to talk a little bit about how can we get our thinking changed? How can we rewire our brains? Two key scriptures are at the top of your note sheet. The first one's coming on the screen right now. It's from 2 Timothy 1:7. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. See, God has given all of his followers a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a spirit of a sound mind. A sound mind is translated differently. The Greek word is translated differently, but it means self-controlled, a mind that makes sound judgment. It's a disciplined mind. It's a mind that is calm, well-balanced, and self-controlled. That is a sound mind. Okay, everybody look at the screens, look at me. I'm going to make a very strong statement, but it's a true statement. A mind in persistent fear is not a sound mind. A mind in persistent depression is not a sound mind. A mind in persistent worry is not a sound mind. A mind that is persistently cynical or critical or negative is not a sound mind. But God has given us a sound mind. So why is it that believers, those who have the Spirit of Jesus Christ, whom we call the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, living within our minds and in our hearts, still live in persistent fear, persistent worry, persistent depression, persistent negativity, persistent anger? You can just keep filling in those blanks. Why is that? It's because we have not yet learned or followed through in the rewiring of our mind. Second scripture is this one. This is from John chapter 14, verse 27. Jesus said this. You can bring up the next slide, please. There it is. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. And then he says this, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. When we have the peace of Jesus, your heart will not be troubled. Your mind will become a sound mind. God desires, and I have walked the path. I know his desire, and I know the goodness when this happens. God desires for you to have sound minds and hearts. Last week and in my study this week, I felt the Father's heart for his children. He sees how your minds and your hearts and the way you are thinking is beating you up, and his heart breaks for you. And so I want to remind some of you who have been walking this, and for others who have never heard this concept, to give you an idea of what God our Father has made available to you. For he has not given you a spirit of fear. He has given you a spirit of power. He has given you a spirit of love. He has given you a sound mind. Let's learn how to live in that which he has given us. to make another statement here about this peace that we're talking about. See, the peace that Jesus gives is not a natural peace. It's not a natural peace. A natural peace comes from circumstances. The peace Jesus gives is a supernatural peace that keeps our hearts from being afraid. Another statement coming up on the screen. The world's peace is circumstantial. Did I say that right? Circumstantial? Jesus' peace is supernatural. The world's peace is circumstantial. Jesus' peace is supernatural. Supernatural in your heart. That means your circumstances cannot be what you want them to be. Your circumstances can be difficult or under pressure, not what you would want them to be. Here's the problem. Especially, I believe, here in the West, way too many followers of Jesus live with minds that are not at peace, filled with fear, worry, anxiety, depression, because their circumstances are off. And so how do we try and solve this? How do we try and solve our problems? How do we try and solve our lack of peace? How do we try and solve our lack of joy? How do we try and solve the anxiety issues? We try to change our circumstances. There are followers of Jesus. Just listen for a moment. And if this is you, I am not saying this to condemn you. I'm saying this so that the Holy Spirit can bring to your attention what's going on so that you can change it. There are far too many believers that float from experience to experience, from church to church, from relationship to relationship, from job to job, from purchase to purchase, looking for peace or joy, looking for something to calm their heart or to bring joy to their heart, and it doesn't work in the long run. You will never find the peace that Jesus promised by chasing after circumstances that are peaceful. You will never find the joy that Jesus promised by chasing after more happy experiences. His peace, his joy is supernatural, and it rises above experiences. Oh, I love experiences that make me happy. I love experiences that bring me peace. But when my circumstances change, I haven't lost Jesus' peace. I haven't lost Jesus' joy because it is supernatural. See, a new experience, a new relationship, a new job, a new purchase, a new friendship, it does work temporarily. People change a job and they're so happy about the job for a period of time, but then the same things start to come. Or they get out of one relationship into another. And for a period of time, oh, it changes everything. But if you don't have the supernatural peace that comes from a powerful relationship with Jesus Christ, the vital relationship with Jesus, the only place you'll find lasting peace, the only place you'll find a lasting sound mind is in a relationship with Jesus, which is played out in relationships with others in the body of Christ, the local church. I want to encourage you, God is for you. He wants your mind strong, not in the agony of fear, worry, depression, or anxiety. Hear me again. God is for you. He wants your mind strong, not in the agony of fear, worry, depression, anxiety, poor self-esteem, cynicism, criticalness. God's gift to his people is a sound mind and heart. A mind and heart that's not troubled. He says, let your hearts be troubled. A mind and a heart that is not fearful. Now, I can hear some of you in your mind, because if I was sitting in your place, especially if I was sitting in your place as I was 30 to 40 years ago when I first learned these principles, I'd be saying, Pastor, what do you mean? I don't think a sound mind is possible. I've been living this way forever. There's no way I can change this. This is just how it is. This is how I think. I grew up, I use this expression. Okay, I grew up in a family of worriers. I had the bronze. My mother had the silver. And my grandmother had the gold. Oh, did they know how to worry? And it just got into my mind and my heart. Fears, anxieties, worries, not feeling I could measure up. And so if I was sitting where you are 35, 40 years ago, is a sound mind possible? Is a mind and a heart not troubled possible? Is a mind and a heart not afraid possible? I'd be going out there saying, I don't think so. Well, here's how I would hope a preacher would answer me if I was sitting out there with this. Jesus says, yes, it is. Jesus says, yes, it is. And if Jesus says, yes, it is possible. Now, little audience participation on this Time Change Sunday when you've all had the extra hour sleep and you are so pumped today. We are going to respond, hopefully. You can respond at home too. And those of you at home, you're going to be able to tell how well these people are responding by the volume that you get through your speakers. I want you to respond loudly with those three words, yes, it is, as I make each of those statements that's above. Are you ready? Do we need to rehearse this? John, you think we need to rehearse it? Now let's just go for it, John, all right? Are you ready? Is a sound mind possible? Oh, yeah. Is a mind and heart not troubled possible? Is a mind and a heart, listen, somebody needs to hear this. You need to hear it at home. Is a mind and heart not afraid possible? Yes, it is. Jesus said so. But now you're probably saying this, because again, if I was sitting out there and all you guys were yelling, yes, it is, and stuff, if I prayed over and over and over again, and yet my mind keeps being filled with fear and worry. Yeah. So today I'm going to teach you some basic truths about developing this sound mind that is one that's not troubled, one that's not fearful. Again, I think some of us are addicted to fear, worry, depression, and negative thinking. But we're going to teach you how. So, there's victory, there's hope, there's an answer. So what's the answer? On your note sheets, and we're not going to get through with all this. I put the whole message together, but I'm only going to do part of it. In your notes, verse 1, my life is always moving in the direction of my strongest thoughts. My life is always moving in the direction of my strongest thoughts. This statement is actually by Pastor Greg Rochelle in his teaching about the mind. He's got a book out. And he gets into the whole science of all of this. And you're welcome to read the book. I don't know if I'll have the slide up before the message is over with. We'll show you a copy of his book. But here's the thing. Okay, my life is always moving in the direction of my strongest thoughts. This is good news. If your thoughts are good, helpful, loving, patient, etc. Because your life is going to be moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts. This is bad news if your thoughts are anxious, negative, fearful, bitter, hateful, or whatever. And see, this was bad news for me because my thoughts, before I began to rewire my brain, were anxious, negative, fearful, bitter, hateful, cynical, sarcastic, and I could go on and on. And my life was heading in that direction. My dating life in high school was pitiful. Why? Because of what I believed about myself, what I thought about myself. Who'd want to date you? Who'd want to have a relationship with you? And if I found somebody that would say yes, oftentimes they were the type of person that would have a relationship with me. But because my thoughts were negative, and then in those relationships, all this other stuff in time would come out. The anxiety, the negativeness, the fear, the bitterness, the hatefulness, it would come out. My life was moving in the direction of my strongest thoughts. I needed to change my thoughts. Second point this morning in your note. This is a question for you. I don't need you to answer it. Do I like the direction my thoughts are taking me? Do I like the direction my thoughts are taking me? Okay, let me ask you this. Do you like where your life is? Your thoughts took you there. Because your life is always moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts. If you don't like where you are, or you don't like the direction of your life, then you must change your thoughts and make your strongest thoughts to go in this direction instead of that direction. I was listening to an interview with author and leadership teacher John Acuff this week. John, both on this interview and in his writings, is an incredibly positive person, a very positive person. I've listened to him before. I've read some of his material. He's a very positive person. And the host of this interview made a comment that, boy, it's just like, wow. You're very positive, he said to John. You're a very positive person. And John said, oh, no, 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 no. That's not my normal way of thinking. My natural tendency is to be negative. The reason I come across as positive is I have to work at it. I thought, wow, I could relate to that. Because many years ago, and even now, I still wrestle with it. My natural bent is, as I said, towards negative, cynicism, anxiety, criticism, fear, worry, and anger. So my purpose today is to help you ask this question. If you don't like the direction that your life is going, how can you begin to change it? Do you want to change? And if you're in a place you don't like because your thoughts have taken you there, by switching your thoughts, you can change where you are. I'm going to illustrate it this way. Let's go with my natural. My natural bent is in this direction. My natural bent is negative, cynical, worrisome, fearful. That's my natural bent. I have to actually exert some pressure to bring my natural bent this direction, so that my life will go in the direction of my strongest thoughts. But as soon as I begin to take the pressure off, especially early on, I fell back into my natural thought pattern. There are times I still fall back into my natural thought patterns, and I have to keep my life, my heart, my thought pulled back so that my life is now going in this direction because I am bent. Growing up years, things I've experienced, and a thought pattern that got so wired into my brain that my life's direction was that way. But through the grace of Jesus Christ and through learning how to rewire my brain, I started to change the way I thought. I pulled against my natural bent and got it to bend the other way. The longer you do it, the more that you begin to be bent this way. How are you bent? How are you bent? If it's not what you like, such as what I didn't like when I was over here, what are you doing about it? Now, I can't get into everything this morning. But I'll tell you this. God has not given you a spirit of negativity and a bent. God has not given it. He has given you a spirit of love and of power and of a sound mind. That's already within you. You need to learn how to activate it. You need to learn how to begin to pull yourself in the direction that you know you should go and that God wants you to go. And it is possible. It takes work, but it is possible. I am diligent to continue to pull myself towards the positive, the good, the helpful, the loving, the generous. It takes work, but it's how I keep my thoughts focused on the direction I want to go, because I know that my life is always moving in the direction of my strongest thoughts. If the team can come up, please. I want you to see this verse of scripture from the verse of from the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verse 8. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. This is towards the end of Paul's letter to this church at Philippi. Look at those three words. Fix your thoughts. Going back to my illustration here. Thoughts going this way. Fix your thoughts. Grab on to the right thoughts. Grab on to the proper thoughts. Fix your thoughts. Pull yourself in the right direction. Fix your thoughts on what is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. What are you doing? You're pulling your natural negative bent, if you're like me, in a positive direction. You fix your thoughts. And then you fix them on what is true and honorable, right, pure, lovely, and admirable. You think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Where do you find these things? Just briefly. I'll teach more about this next week when I get into the more practical. Where do you find these things? Right here. God's Word. I have not met a person whose thoughts were fixed in the way that God wanted their thoughts to go who didn't spend time in God's Word, who didn't spend time reading, sometimes meditating, often confessing the things that God says about us. At 11:30, if everything goes according to plan, you're going to receive a text from the church. If it doesn't go that way, on social media, you're going to receive a post that is going to list a way for you to engage with God's Word, the New Testament only. We have bookmarks out in the lobby if you don't want to do it electronically. There's mine. It's taped in my Bible. I follow this reading plan virtually all year long, except on the rare occasions where I feel that I'm to be reading the Old Testament. But I want to read the words of Jesus. I want to read the life-giving words that the Holy Spirit inspired through the Apostle Paul. And so I read the New Testament following this plan. In fact, I am just about finished this time around. I am in the book of John. I have Jude and Revelation left, and then I'm going to immediately go back to the book of Matthew. I designed this years ago to help other believers, and what this reading plan does is you read through the Gospels, all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and the book of Acts, interspersed through the rest of the New Testament. So you read Matthew and then Acts, Romans, and then you read Mark, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, and then Luke, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and then John. And you're thinking, Pastor Rick, that's like not the whole Bible. No, because then you're going to read Colossians, 1st Thessalonians, 2nd Thessalonians, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and then Matthew once again. This Bible reading plan will put you through the Gospels and the book of Acts twice and once through the remainder of the New Testament. I have found it to be incredibly helpful, not only for me, but for those who are not regularly Bible readers, because you spend more time in the life and the words of Jesus. That's what's going to get text to you, and a digital link to this digitally, or on Facebook, or on, I think Instagram is going to get it also. But if you want to pick up the hard copies, they're just sitting on the security table out in the lobby. I want you to think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. That's one thing I want you to do. But the second thing I want you to do is to tap into the supernatural power of God. You can pray over your mind. You can speak over your mind. You can go to God and say, God, my mind is filled with, okay, I'm going to shock some of you. My mind is full of crap. Lots of it. I need a sound, renewed mind. Help me. There's a great song that we started to sing a while ago. It's about speaking the name of Jesus. But the reason I really like some of the early part of this song is it talks about speaking the name of Jesus over our minds, over our emotions, over our depression. That's how we're going to close this part of the service. We're going to have prayer in just a bit. But right now, let us remind ourselves of the words. Begin to speak the name of Jesus. Remember, when we've been studying the book of Acts, when that lame man, 40 years laying in the dirt, could not get up, Peter and John said, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise and walk. That's the power that is within the name of Jesus. Speak that name over your mind. This morning, some of you, as I was speaking and I was talking about your thoughts going this way and you need to pull them back, you could see that. I don't know who I'm talking to, but there's somebody who is saying, I'm not sure it's worth it anymore. I don't think I'll ever be able to. I don't think I'll ever be better, or whatever those thoughts are. It's time this morning to make a declaration that you are going to rewire your brain and change your thoughts. You're going to start pulling. Now, one of the things, it takes effort for me to get this over. In fact, I'm concerned about it breaking. But the longer I hold it, the more it goes. You're going to have to work. And you're going to fall back. I have. And it starts to go back, and I grab and pull it back. But this morning, there's one thing I want you to do. I want you to let me speak Jesus over you. If this morning, right now, you say, you know what? I really don't have a sound mind. Oh, there are days that it seems good, but for the most part, I tend to go this way. If that's you this morning, I want you to start slipping out of your seats and come and stand across the front. As a step of faith, if you would say this morning, as Pastor described what it means to have a sound mind, I don't have a sound mind. Not the way that the Bible seems to declare it. If that's you this morning, please begin to move forward. Our time is running. Step out of your seat. If you deal with fear, depression, anxiety, other negative things, would you make your way down? Anybody else this morning, just make your way down. Give me a little bit of room, because we're going to speak. I'm going to speak. Anybody else this morning, this is your time. It may be a little difficult to admit that you wrestle with your thoughts all the time. But you've got to take a step. We're going to sing the first verse again, and I'm going to give you opportunity. Anybody else? I'm going to be speaking the name of Jesus over the minds of every single person who makes their way down front. That name that healed that man that was lame for 40 years, I'm going to be speaking over their minds. Could you go back? and sing the first couple of verses again. And if you need to join us up front, please come.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. Oh, I speak Jesus.
Sing that again.
What do you expect to have happen when you speak Jesus over these folks that are down here? Or if I was to come down, what do you expect to have happen when you speak Jesus? I expect to activate the supernatural Holy Spirit of God to give you some additional strength to fight against that negative direction that your thoughts have taken you. That's what I expect.
Thanks for joining us for this message from Columbus First Assembly. If this message has blessed you in any way, would you share it on your social media feeds so that others can be blessed also? If you would like to join us for an in-person service and you're close to us, we are in Columbus, Indiana, then our services start at 10 o'clock on Sunday mornings and our church is located on the corner of 10th and Iowa. Once again, thanks for joining us. Look forward to having you join us again soon.